Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's just start at verse number 1. We're going to skip through here, and I'm just going to try to take my time today. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over the people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way. Deuteronomy, we could possibly read that in a moment, how Amalek laid wait. Amen. Praise God. When he came up from Egypt, now go and smite Amalek. Now I want you to notice, this is God. I understand this sounds harsh, but God knows in order to deal with sin, in order to deal with trouble like this, you got to just get rid of it. Amen.
Come on.
You can't hide it in a closet. You can't put it under the rug. Amen. You got to get rid of it. Praise God. I remember my mom, when she got saved many years ago, I might have told this. She got saved, and of course, my mom didn't grow up in a holiness church like this whatsoever. And she got convicted of wearing her tight blue jeans, and she thought to herself, I'm just going to iron them up real good and put them down in the bottom drawer. You know, I might need them one day. Uh-oh. Praise God. And she got that, got to feel even feeling bad over that. So finally, one day, she got rid of them completely. Yes. Amen. This is what I'm talking about here. You just, when, especially if the Lord convicts you of things in your life, I tell you what you better do. Don't put them in the bottom drawer. Get rid of it.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. I want you to know this is very clear instructions. And when God speaks very clear. Amen. God will never lead you somewhere in the dark.
No.
Amen. God will always be clear. He'll always show you a clear path, and he'll give you clear instructions. He gives us clear words in his Bible. Amen.
Right.
And God always operates in the light. He don't operate in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the devil operates in the dark. Mm-hmm. Woo, yeah, I'm feeling good. They ain't got started yet.
Bless you.
Hallelujah. And spare them not, but slay both man and woman. Once again, this sounds harsh, but God knows what. How many will agree with me today? God knows what he's doing.
Right.
Amen. Come to find out, and I ain't got time to get into this, but come to find out it was an Amalekite that eventually killed Saul. Saul was supposed to kill them and utterly destroy him, but he didn't. And we find out many years later that it was an Amalekite that killed Saul.
Yeah.
Because Saul didn't keep the word of God. Wow. Amen. That's a sermon for another day. Both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Amen. Let's skip on down now to verse 9. Praise the Lord. And Saul and the people spared Agag. What did God say?
Destroy.
He said, destroy the king, destroy the man, destroy the woman, destroy the animal, destroy everything.
Yeah.
Don't leave nothing. But Saul and the people spared Agag. Already we're finding out he's not willing to listen to God. Amen. Yeah. And the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and of all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, and they destroyed utterly. Amen. He got rid of the maimed and the lame animals, but he said the good stuff I kept. Amen.
Oh.
It sounds to me like he got a little bit of selfish indignation rising up, and he maybe saw some dollar signs. I don't know. But here's what I do know. He didn't listen to God.
Right.
Woo, amen. Amen. All right. Verses 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Lying through his teeth.
Oh, God.
Amen. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen, which I do hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep of the oxen. I want you to notice here, he never took account whatsoever for his actions.
Yeah.
He blamed it on the people. He blamed it on the animals. Yes, they were good animals. The people kept all. Here he is on the blame game. And once again, amen, when God says something and we disobey God's word, the last thing you can get by and you're going to get things straightened out is putting the blame on somebody else.
Right.
Woo. Man, I ain't even got started yet. Is this all right?
Come on.
Praise God. Amen. It's sounding good, ain't it, Brother Parson? Hallelujah. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Let me tell you something. God doesn't want to sacrifice. He wants obedience.
Yeah.
He said to God said to destroy all these animals and all these people, and now you're saying you kept the best for us. God won't accept a sacrifice that's against his word and his will.
Right.
Woo. All right, verse 19. I've had you standing way longer than normal. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord has sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight and burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice,
right,
and to hearken than the fat of rams. Thank you for standing here today for the reading of the word of the Lord. And if God would help us, I visited this text some years ago. I imagine some of you might have been here then, probably won't remember. Amen. But I visited this text, I'm guessing 8 to 10 years ago. Amen. It's got on my heart again. And so I feel like trying to do the best I can with it here. Amen. But here in this text, we hear four voices. We hear the voice of God. We hear the voice of King Saul. We hear the voice of Samuel. And I don't want you to laugh at me here. Praise God. And I don't know if I still got it on my phone, but if I do, I'm going to use this. And I don't want you laughing at me. And we also hear the voice. And I guess where it's been so long, it went off. I had a voice of sheep. And maybe some of you boys can bow like a sheep for me here in a minute. Amen. So we hear the voice of God. We hear the voice of Saul. We hear the voice of the old prophet Samuel. And we also hear the voice of sheep.
Uh-oh.
Woo. Amen. Wow. So, man, my first thought here today, what did God say? Amen. God said, now, go, I want you to go, and he said, I want you to slay the Amalekites utterly. Amen. Get rid of them. And he gave clear instructions. Man, woman, boy, girl, suckling, child, and all the animals. Get rid of them, because he said, if you don't, look at what they did in the past, and guess what? They'll destroy you in the future if you don't get rid of sin. Isn't that sin just the same way? Amen. Sin's just like that. Praise God. God, everything God commands us in this book right here, he does it for our own good.
Amen.
If God tells us not to do anything which destroys the temple, such as, amen, smoking and drinking and crowds around, do all those things. He's not doing it to deprive us of the fun things of life. He's doing it to save us. Amen. He's doing it. Thank God. I'm so glad that I'm not addicted to some kind of drug. Amen. And I'm not saying that boastfully. I thank God for that. Amen. I've got family members that's that way. I know people that's got to pop a tab on a beer when they get up in the morning, and they got to pop tabs on beers when they go to bed at night. Wouldn't that be a miserable way to live? But thank God, he's spared anything God commands us not to do in this book right here. He does it for our own good. Hallelujah. Woo, amen. And so he says, why don't you go destroy them utterly, destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, child, ox and sheep, camel and ass. I want you to utterly destroy them. Amen. Why? Because Deuteronomy, amen, chapter number 5, starting at verse number 17, he said, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way which when you were come up out of Egypt. Remember, amen, when we was coming up out of Egypt, how he, Amalek, met by thee, by the way, and he smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God, oh, this is a prophecy, I want you to listen to this. And it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thy enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget it. God prophesied.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to give you the Amalek, and there's going to come a day I want you to blot out Amalek. Amen. I want you to get rid of him. Praise God. He ain't never been nothing but trouble, and he won't never be anything but trouble. Amen. Get rid of Amalek. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Lord here in this house. Amen. Sometimes God puts a finger on a sore spot in our life, and we got to be spiritual enough. We got to be humble enough. We got to be willing enough to say, God, I'm willing to get rid of it. Amen. Because if I don't, it will destroy me. Amen. So we heard what God said. God said, get rid of it. So what did Saul say? Saul heard God's command. Amen. Oh, yes. And he started to obey. He, in one point, wanted to obey. But by the next, amen, Saul, the prophet Samuel, he excluded all the sweetness. Amen. Blessed be thou, the Lord, I have performed, he said, the commandment of the Lord. But we find out, amen, hallelujah, amen. But we find out, praise God, here's Saul is saying, God, I did your will. You told me to destroy, I destroyed. He destroyed some, but he didn't destroy all. And God said, destroy all. Hallelujah. This is a sermon right here. We can preach a while, but I got to move on. Amen. God, partial obedience is not full obedience. Amen. If God said to get rid of all the Amalekites and all the animals and all, you know, the drill by now, I quoted it about five times, then God means all. Amen. But Brother Josh, when it comes down to it, amen, Saul stands up before the man of God, before the prophet Samuel, and in the eyes of God himself, and he said, I did the will of God. God said, destroy him, I destroyed him. Oh no, Saul, you spared the king, you spared the good of the land, you didn't complete the will of God completely. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd like to tell you here today, when God says do something, don't just hold that part of it. Don't just skim around the edge and say, I think I can still do this and this and that and do all this and still please God. No! Just go 100% and say, God, I'm going to love you, Lord. I'm going to serve you, God, with all my heart. Amen. I ain't going to skirm around the edge. I'm not going to dip dabble in the world and dip dabble in church. Put one foot in, one foot out. Amen. Be happy and happy. Amen. Thank God. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get rid of Amalek. Amen. 100%. And I'm going to live for God. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Amen. It's a little bit different message than what I usually preach. But oh, I come to tell you, I believe God's going to command 100%. I feel the Holy Ghost to tell you, I believe God wants all or none. That's what he was telling Saul. So I didn't want this part of him. I wanted my whole command completed. Amen. I wanted you to get rid of all the Amalekites. Don't spare the king. Don't spare the good of the lamb. But get rid of all of them. Amen.
Yes.
So here's Saul is. I'm almost where I need to be. So here's Saul is. Tell him, amen. I did what the Lord told me to do. Woo! We got a sheep in the house. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Brother Tommy.
I said, don't laugh, and I laughed.
So here's Saul is.
Come on.
Telling the prophet. I did what God told me to do. I did what the word. Samuel said,
yeah.
Samuel said, what's this I hear? Whew. Amen. For Lord, help me for just a few moments. I'm going to preach on what the sheep had to say. Amen. Oh, what's this I hear? Amen. He said, I hear the bleeding of the sheep, and I hear the blowing of the oxen, and you're telling me you got rid of them? No, Saul, you're not honest. Amen. You're lying. Amen. And God is not pleased with this. Amen. What does the sheep say? Amen. Number one, the sheep was saying, God's will had not been done. How could you have destroyed them all? And I hear the bleeding of the sheep. Saul, you just told me that you got rid of all of them. But I hear, amen, I hear the bleeding of the sheep in the background. And the sheep are telling me, amen, that you're not doing the will of God. Amen. I come to tell the church, amen, God's got to use the sheep to tell on you he will. Hallelujah. Amen. The sheep that should have been dead were still very much alive. amen, the apparently, amen, oh, Saul, you did not complete, amen, the will of God like you're saying. The sheep were saying, you did not do God's will.
Oh, God.
What else did the sheep say?
Jesus, Jesus.
I don't want to dig too much into this, but the sheep were saying, Saul's consecration, amen, had a crack in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God. He purposed to do God's will, and he claimed to have done so, but there was an ulterior motive behind, amen, his work. Hallelujah. I'm trying to be careful here, and I'm trying to really feel like preaching what I feel like God told me to. Amen. Oh, there was an ulterior motive of selfishness, possibly, that sidetracked him. While failing God, he attempted to cover up his glaring inconsistencies. Oh, yes. He tried to manipulate the situation. He tried to manipulate God. And he said, I destroyed him, but it didn't destroy y'all. I did your work and your will, Lord, but he didn't do it to the fullest extent. Amen. He's trying to manipulate the situation. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, church. There's one thing you can't manipulate, and that's God. Amen. You can manipulate people on the job. You can manipulate people in your family. You might even manipulate the preacher a time or two, but you can't manipulate God. I feel the Holy Ghost in his house. Amen. He was trying to manipulate. Amen. Why did you do this? I hear the bleeding of the sheep in the background. Amen. Sir Saul gets nervous, and he said, well, the people wanted to keep the best. Amen. They didn't want to kill Agag the king. They wanted to keep the best oxen and the best sheep and the best cattle. Amen. And now he's getting on, and he's almost getting to the place where he's blaming God. He said, so we can make a sacrifice unto the Lord. We want to make a sacrifice to God. Every bit of that is false, amen. Every bit of that's a lie. You don't want to sacrifice to God. You want to get rich. You're worried about selfish ambitions. Amen. Oh, what the sheep say? The sheep said, you're worried about getting your own way, Saul. And because of this, God's going to judge you one day. And because of this, the hammer's going to come down and it's going to judge you for your selfish, amen, ambitions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo.
Yes, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
Saul's actions were different than his words. Feel the Holy Ghost in this house.
Jesus. Have your way, Lord.
I told you I'm going to slow it down a little bit today.
Have your way, Jesus. Touch him, Lord.
The bleeding of the sheep. Samuel, amen, more or less says, you perform what? Amen. You say you did this, but I hear sheep in the background. Amen. Don't lie to me, son. Hallelujah. Now, Samuel was an old man. He could talk to Saul like that.
Yeah.
He was the old seer. He was around before Saul. Now, I'm just telling you how I believe the conversation went. I believe he said, son, you're lying to me. Amen. Saul's next substitution, Saul replaces confession and admission. Listen to him, this, with disobedience and sin, with a bunch, amen, of worthless excuses. Hey, isn't it better just to go ahead when we get caught up in a mess, when we get caught up in stuff where we've lied, amen, like Saul did, and we've made a mess out of things that God told us to do, and we're in the middle of being not in the will of God, and here Saul has made a mess. Shouldn't Saul have just confessed and said, God, I'm sorry? Amen. Samuel, would you forgive me? I'll tell you this, that old prophet, amen, he'd have forgave him. I'll tell you this, God would have been gracious and forgave him. But because, amen, he tried to replace confession and admission with rather disobedience and sin, God said, I'm going to judge you, Saul, and my hand is going to come down against you. I come to tell us here today, don't ever try to hide from God. Don't ever try to sweep it under the rug. God said, I hear the sheep. I hear the background. I know you're lying. And I know what happened. You might hide it from everybody else, but you can't hide it from God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here.
Holy God.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen. Common statements that are made by folks today. I'm doing this for the Lord. You ever heard people say that?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm really not.
Come on.
God calls, you know, you can get over it. He calls pastors, he calls teachers, he calls evangelists.
Come on.
He calls prophets, you know. And God calls people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
God calls preachers to travel.
Right.
But God never called singers to go travel around.
Right.
And I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I can't remember exactly who it was. Amen. But you'll not show me one scripture in all the Word of God where God calls people to travel singing.
Right.
That's not calling.
Right.
I tell you what God calls you to do. God calls you to be steadfast. Amen. And get in a community and work. Amen. And get in behind a church and work. And get in behind a pastor and support him and be there. Amen. That's what God calls to do. Amen. God never calls to. Amen, folks. And I want you to listen here. And every time it happens, amen, every time some singing group will God call me, the Lord's telling me to do it when it's against His Word. How's God telling you to do something that's against the Word of God? He ain't doing it. Well, Saul said, amen, I just want to make a sacrifice to the Lord. I want to offer up a sacrifice. God didn't tell you to offer up a sacrifice. God told you to slay them animals and to kill them and to get rid of them. He don't want a sacrifice. He don't want something that He said, amen, not to do. And I come to tell us, if we want the blessing of God in our life, if we want the Holy Ghost roaming free in our life, we got to do what God says. We got to do what the Word of God says. For the hand of God, amen, judgment will come down on us.
That's right. Yes, Lord.
I'm doing this for the Lord. God led me to do it. You better be careful on what you say God told you.
Right. Yes.
Woo!
Come on.
I feel a lot better than all y'all. I can tell that. Amen. You better be careful because a lot of people say God told them a lot of stuff that God never told them.
That's right.
God never told you, Saul, to make a sacrifice. God never told you, Saul, to spare Agag. God never told you, Saul, to spare the best of the animals. God said to destroy all.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God.
God bless
you. The Holy Ghost.
Bless Him, Lord.
He does not contradict His own word.
Mm-mm, right.
In Saul's case, how could God bless a sacrifice that He condemned? God condemned that.
That's
so
right.
There's no way God's going to accept a sacrifice that He condemned.
Right.
Amen. Saul will not admit to his wrong. He still claims he's obedient, partial obedience. It's not obedience at all.
That's right.
The pressure's on. Saul has been caught. The excuses continue to come. And he blubbers. People took the spoil. He blames it on the people, beloved. Amen. Revival comes in our life when we take responsibility for our own actions.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Quiet in.
Come on.
Why don't you raise your hand and ask God to help us here today?
Hallelujah be to God.
God, it's my sole desire here today to help somebody. God, it's my sole desire, Lord, here today to help us as a church to move on. Amen. To serve you with entirety, God. And not in partiality, Lord. Amen. Not in partialness, but with everything we have. Amen. Blame it on the people. They took it. Bible comes. When we take responsibility for our actions and we look at sin the way God looks at sin, God hates sin.
Right.
Right.
Saul was good at making excuses. Excuses are the skin of reason stuffed with lies. Did you hear that? It's the skin of reason stuffed with lies. Saul had blamed Samuel. He blamed Jonathan. Now he's blaming the people. Amen. They're the reason why all this happened. Why do we blame? You know, in our life, when things go south, amen, it's so easy to blame people.
Yep.
Woo. Hallelujah. We blame our parents, you know. Kids blame our parents. How many times have I heard the reason why people's life turned upside down? Because mom and dad did this, and mom and dad did that, and this happened to me, and that happened to me. And Sigmund Freud's partially to blame because Freud said all of our adult actions happen because of something that happened to us as a child. And I understand some of us have dark pasts, and some of us came from hard places in our childhood. But let me tell you something. God is the one that guides and pilots the future.
Yes, He does.
Woo! Amen. Because mom and dad might have been a drunkard. Or on dope and things like that don't mean I have to grow up and be on dope and be a drunk. Now God can separate the future from the past. Amen. God can lead me and guide me in the future. Amen. But I must be willing to look at the situation over and say, God, help me, Lord. Amen. And I said oftentimes, times that I know I got saved at 13. The only thing that spared me, that I got family members, once again, was drugs. I got family members that was on dope. I'm surprised my dad would ever let me go over to, it was his first cousin, I guess, would be my second cousin, Leslie. And Michelle's met Leslie. He's a pretty good guy nowadays. But Leslie has to get up every day of his life and smoke a joint. Amen. He smokes, I don't know how many joints a day. And marijuana, his life's a mess. Oh, I remember when I was just a little boy, and I knew something wasn't right at Leslie's house. He was always over smoking stuff that smelled funny, and he always had traffic running in and out. Let me tell you something, Brother George, I was about that close to getting in that mess. I was about that close to my life being destroyed. But oh, God changed the future. Because the man prayed and said, God, would you help me? My grandpa was a moonshiner. Amen. My other grandpa was a warlock. And people don't believe that. Great God, I come out of rough ship. But you know what? God changed the future. I said, God changed the future. My kids hardly know what a cuss word is. My kids don't sit around, amen, and watch people fornicate, commit adultery on the television. No! Why? Because God changed the direction. And he can change the direction for you. All you got to do is say, Lord, help me, God, change the direction of my life. Amen. Accept, amen, responsibility of where life has taken you, and ask God to help.
Yes.
Woo, feel the Holy Ghost here. I got to preach on. I'm almost done. Amen. Excuses. Blame the preacher. Blame the parents. Blame the principal at school. It's easy to blame the preacher. I tell you, I've read so much here lately, and I come across it. I wish I'd have jotted it down or screenshotted it on my phone. I think it's in a book. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it was the book Stacy let me borrow. I finally apologize. She gave me that book by David Webb, and I think that day that she gave me that book, we had something over to the yellow house, and I was too embarrassed to ask her if she really gave me that book, and that book's been missing for all these months, and I was over to the yellow house after the Bradleys left the other day, and that book was up on that kitchen on that top shelf, but I've almost read it in the last couple days. Amen. But David, that's where it come from. David Webb had in his book, Leading Like a Lion, amen, that children are in church 1% of their time. 1%. I might get some of these a little bit wrong. They're in the house 87% of the time. They're in school a small percentage of the time. But they're in the house, amen, 87% of their childhood days. Amen. But yet we want to blame it on the government. Amen. Why our kids go sour. We want to blame it on the preacher. We want to blame it on everybody. Why my family's upside down? Amen. They're in my house 87% of their life until they turn 18 and walk out the door. Don't blame it on nobody else, but look in the mirror and say, I'm the reason why my family's upside down and my kids, amen, turned out the way they did.
Right. Yes.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Well, Tommy can vouch for this. My kids do not backtalk, amen, sass, whatever you want to call the word for it. Adults, they won't do it.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know why? I can't even remember. Brother Tommy can tell you this. He might remember which two of the girls, I think it was, had brought a knife to church years ago. And the boys bring knives, and I make them promise not to get them out. Sometimes all one of you have to do is say, man, I like that knife. And they said, Dad, they wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of them might have been Reese and Raylan. Can you remember?
No.
It was two of the girls. I think it was Reese and Raylan or Reese and Lane. Amen. Had a knife back there, argument, and they pulled it out. And they was fighting over that knife. I think the blade was open.
Yeah.
Brother Tommy got in the middle of it. He said, no, y'all can't do this. Y'all can't do this. And got on to him. And I wanted him to get on to him. And he took the knife from him. And he brought it back and he told me the situation. Now, a lot of parents, man, they get so mad. You can't tell nobody's kid nothing now. They get so mad. Amen. I didn't get mad at Brother Tony. I had one question for him. I said, what did they say when you took their knife and you got in the middle of it? They said, okay, Brother Tommy, thank you. If they had to give him one word of lip, if they had to sassed him and backtalked him one little bit, I tell you what, they wouldn't have the next time. And I'll guarantee you that. Why? Because I refuse to let my kids be disrespectful. Amen. To a Sunday school teacher. Amen. To a preacher. To a teacher. Really just an adult in itself. Why? Because that transitions into the world. That transitions into their life. And if they don't respect the spiritual figure in their life, they won't respect the police officer. They won't respect the government. They'll end up being a crook. They won't pay their taxes. Hey, I come to tell us, we got to raise, amen, our family upright.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I told you it'd be all right.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank the boss.
Come on.
I understand every boss ain't great. Brother Tommy, it's hard to tell how many bosses he had that he didn't like in 42 years. I never spent 42 years. I was in St. Mary's about 12 years. Now my own boss. So if I drop about the boss now, I got trouble. I'm sure he said, I'm not being mean towards that. I know we've all had bosses we don't really care much about. But great God, don't go to work every day where somebody's paying you what you've agreed to show up for.
Yeah.
Benefits, wow. Insurance, vacation, whatever. You know what's on the table, I know. And then gripe every day and create a cesspool of infection. Amen. A cesspool, a pool of an environment that's not even fit to go to work in. And then step back and blame it on a boss all the time. That's the way it is in church. Amen. Oh, that preacher do this. And that preacher do gripe. Amen. And create a cesspool of friction and contention in the house of God. And then we want to know why we ain't prospered. Why God ain't sending them sinners. Why God ain't helping the church. He can't. There's infection in the house. There's trouble. That's got to be dealt with.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God.
Glory to God.
Holy, 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 holy.
Oh, won't you raise your hand one more time? I'm done. I'm just trying to follow the leading of the Lord here. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help me today, Lord. I want to help somebody. I really don't want to change their life today. Lord, I want to change somebody's way they're thinking.
Jesus.
Saul thought he was really doing what God wanted. In his sinful way of thinking, he thought he was doing what God wanted. But Saul knew deep down God wanted all.
Yes, he did.
Sure.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Blame everything. Blame the government.
God.
When Biden was in there, that's all we heard. Biden, Biden, Biden. Mm-hmm. Trump's in there. Trump's going to destroy the country. We always want to blame it on everybody and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's my whole point to this. And we never want to take responsibility of what I can do to change things.
Help us.
What can I do to change the environment?
Oh,
what can I do to make this church an environment where people enjoy coming to? What can I do to get behind the preacher so we have more powerful servants? What can I do? Amen, you instrument players, when I get up here and be in unison with one another and play until the glory comes down. What can I do, seniors? I tell you what, you can pray. Amen, and ask the Lord to anoint you at the house just like the preacher does. You know how many hours I spend on this. Amen. Oh, to come preach 30, 40 minutes. I spend hours on this. And if you're going to sing and play, why don't you spend some time practicing and playing and praying and asking God to get in the middle of it? And I believe he will. I said, I believe he will. That's in the mind. We got to change the way we think about it. Amen. We got to change it. And can't blame it on everybody else.
Holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy God.
Bless you.
Be honest.
Bless you.
And accept responsibility for your own actions.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
If you're not careful, you may be on the brunt end of irresponsibility.
Hallelujah.
And you may be blamed one day for things you didn't do. Amen. Solomon warned in Proverbs 28 and 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper.
Right.
But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Oh.
That's a great verse right there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
If you'll confess your sins, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You ain't going to prosper if you're trying to cover. Saul, you will not prosper trying to cover up the sin of not obeying God.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to get by.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard the sheep say, bah.
Bah.
I heard the sheep say,
bah.
I heard the oxen bowing.
That's right.
Saul said he got rid of him. But the sheep said, Saul, you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Come on.
Oh, God.
Come on, feel the Holy
Ghost.
I got to move on here.
Oh,
just about done. God's response is he wants obedience and not sacrifice.
Sure.
God wants obedience
and
not sacrifice. Woo, hallelujah. Lord, help us here today. Hosea 6:6 says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord.
And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Micah 6:7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of the body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee? To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He's not asking for your firstborn. God's not asking for 10,000 rivers of oil. God's not asking. God's just asking for you to do that which is just.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love mercy.
Man.
Walk humbly before God.
Yes.
Glory
to God.
Yes. Is this all right?
Amen. Yes.
Somebody get up and walk out on me. Who walked out back here?
Thank you, Lord.
Saul's problem is he did not have a broken heart. His heart was filled with rebellion. Filled with rebellion. Which God considered to be like witchcraft.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Come on.
Did you know rebellion? If you got a rebellious spirit and you're always rebelling against authority and you're always rebelling against what you know is right, you ain't no better than a little witch doctor somewhere.
You're right, oh, bro.
Come on. You ain't no better off than a crystal ball reader down there.
No.
Oh, God. The sacrifices, and he goes on to say, but the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, thou wilt not despise. If we'll come to God with a broken and a contrite heart and a broken spirit, and we come, if Saul, I believe with all my heart, if Saul would have did this, Brother George,
mm-hmm.
He would have got mercy.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
I believe this, Brother Tommy. Now, I know some, Judas was really the suffering. I understand that. Judas was really called to do what he did. But if Judas had come to God with a broken and a contrite spirit, I believe God would have forgave him.
That's right.
Sure would have.
You're right.
That's why the Bible is very clear on there's only one unforgivable sin in all the Word of God. That's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
And I'm not here to debate on what that is and what that ain't, but I'll tell you this, it's a lot harder to do than what you think.
Sure.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people get so scared. Oh, I feel like, you know, if you've got a fear in your heart and you still got conviction in your heart, you ain't blaspheming.
Right.
That's right. Right.
So what does that say? That says God could forgive a murderer.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God can forgive an adulterer.
That's right.
He can forgive a fornicator.
Right.
He can forgive a liar.
That's right.
He can forgive it. Are you, whatever sin you want to think of, you name it, God can forgive it. But it has to come through a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what it's going to come through.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Is this all right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Woo! I told you when it started, it's going to be a little bit more different here today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm done. Psalms. Oh, that's what I read to you. Psalms 51:16. Go back and study that. Saul's problem is he did not have a broken heart. He was filled with rebellion, which God considered to be as a sin of witchcraft.
In the name of the Lord.
Amen. What do people today sacrifice in their obedience to the Lord?
Glory, glory, glory.
Some people sacrifice money, time, their job. They sacrifice their church. They sacrifice everything in the world. Amen. To get tattooed. I don't know why. I wish I could figure it out. To have more of the world and more time in the world. We have services around here 2 times a week. It's almost embarrassing. We have Thursday night and Sunday at 2:00. 2 times a week. And half our church can't come two services a week.
Yep.
That's embarrassing, really, as a pastor. I'm not being hateful or slightful to anybody in here. But I'm going to say this.
Come on, bro.
Wow.
Bless him, Lord.
I'm going to be careful here. But somebody told me that just recently that they's going to be out of town on vacation. And they said, I'm going to be out of town on vacation. They said that part of the family's got to rush back home, fly back home to go to practice because they're getting ready to be in a state tournament thing. And the coach said, if you ain't at practice, you can't play at state.
Come on.
If you ain't at practice, you can't play in the state tournament with the team you've been with all season long.
Come on.
And we preach, come to church the Thursday night, which we fell around trying to have Thursday night. And we used to have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and that's still what I like to do. But, we didn't have 10, 15, 12, sometimes 15 come on Sunday morning. And then most of the time those 12 didn't come back Sunday night. So we finally come to 2:00 to get folks together. And then half the time we still have a big portion of us out. And I don't want you, it's hard to say things like this because people twist your words. I appreciate every service you go to, but what I'm saying is, if I don't even know really quite what that was, but if the ball team expects you to be at practice to play on the team, how much more should God be in our life?
Yeah.
That's right,
brother. How much more should God mean to us?
Thank you, Lord.
To be in his house when his doors are open.
Hallelujah.
To gather and worship, praise his holy name.
Right. Yes.
How good it's been to me. Hey, man, raise your hand.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Stand with me in this house. I preach to you the burden of my heart today. I preach to you the burden of my heart today.
Thank you, Lord.
I tried to help us. I really have.
The name of the Lord bless you.
I had a heavy weight on me to try to help us, church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I had a heavy weight on me to help you because I love you.
Praise.
I want to see you be more spiritual.
I love you.
Yes, God.
I want to see you love God more.
Love you.
I want to see you love your family more. I want to see us be able to gather together in unity. Loving God and loving one another. Being able to help sinners when they come in.
Thank you, Lord.
Ain't that what a church is?
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Being able to worship God when the door opens. And the service opens on Thursday at 7 and on Sunday at 2, and we come in and we can put our neck or our arm around somebody's neck and hug and say, man, I love you.
Come on.
I've been praying for you this week. God will help you and bless you. Ain't that what church is?
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Hey.
Glory, glory.
Thank you, Chief.
If there's somebody in here you can't put your arm around and hug them and love them, you better get that out of your heart.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
You better get that fixed.
Amen. You're right, bro. Thank you, Lord.
Michelle, I'm sorry. First service back. She got to hear this.
Hallelujah.
Now I feel the Holy Ghost, church. I ain't trying to diminish this whatsoever. The Lord's wanting to help us today.
Amen.
God's wanting to help us today.
Thank you, mighty God.
Feel the Holy Ghost in this house.
Jesus, Jesus.
Feel the Holy Ghost in this house. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to spend your life spinning your tires and never accepting responsibility, always putting the blame on somebody else? Saul, you're the king, man. You're the man of all the land. You're the king, and you got to blame the people. You got to blame Saul and even John. You got to blame everybody else. Mm-hmm. When are we going to grow up?
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
And say, if my life's going to be different, my attitude's going to be different, I got to be different.
Right.
Old Jason's got to be different.
Man.
I've had bad spirits and thoughts and feelings come on me, and Jason's got to deal with that.
That's right.
We all do. Yes.
I've got to deal with that. Hallelujah. That's going to tell you, you've got to deal with it, church. We got to deal with it.
Glory, glory.
Got to deal with it.
To the name of
she's going
to
play here. Hallelujah. And I know this is a powerful altar call.
Blessed be the
Lord. We ought to get up here in this altar and we ought to ask God to help us deal with some things.
Help us, Lord. Come on.
Lord, help me deal with some things, God. If we're going to do your work and your will, God, we got to look in the mirror and say, Lord, I got to be better. I got to be different. I can't blame it on the people. I can't blame it on the poor old animals because they were good. I can't blame it on everybody. I can't blame it on the preacher. I can't blame it on the teacher. What? Your kids, 1%, and most of them way less than that, 1% in church. And yet we say it's the church's fault. It's the preacher's fault. Man, 87% at your house? 87% of the time it's at your house, but it's the preacher's fault.
Jesus. Holy, holy.
Come on, I'm waiting on you.
Holy God.
I'm waiting on you.
Holy God. Holy God.
Holy God.
Yes, Lord.
Shine.